So the scripture this morning is from Mark 12, 28 to 34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and beside him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared to ask him any questions." Blessings, Randy, as you share God's word.
Thank you. Thank you, Merle, for reading the scriptures for us this morning. And good morning, everyone. I would like to begin the sermon by just thanking everyone for your prayers for Emily and I the past week. It's been an eventful week indeed. And Merle, I appreciated your opening with wrestling with prayer a little bit. And, Merle and Ruth Ann are, in my mind, just absolute prayer warriors in this church, more than about anyone I know. And there is so much to be grateful for that I believe maybe God did answer your prayers through just continued safety and the fact that infection has stayed away. I was also doing a little bit of Googling, and if this had happened in 1850, we'd probably die because the rabies vaccine was not out at that time. And so it's just a lot to be grateful for that in 2019 there is a vaccine. Grateful for so much. So thank you for your prayers. This morning we have a very familiar text. The greatest commandment that Jesus himself gives to us. Love God and love neighbor. There is no greater commandment. These words have influenced Christian tradition and outside the Christian tradition in profound ways. It's the very heart of the commandments given by Jesus. It's the very heart of the Christian faith. Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So I hope this morning you can hear this familiar text, but maybe also hear something new from God. Invite the Holy Spirit this morning in the midst of such a familiar text to maybe bring something new that you hadn't considered before, a nudging from the Spirit this morning to keep growing spiritually. I've picked out three themes from these verses this morning that I hope to explore together. And undoubtedly, there are so many more themes that one could go into in a bedrock text like this morning. And so I hope this week maybe you can even dwell in this text a little bit and invite God's Spirit to speak to you this week as God reveals to you. So the first theme this morning, I would invite us to think this morning of how this scripture not only calls us to love God and neighbor, but is also an invitation to love ourselves. And I want to begin with that theme. How do we love our neighbor as yourself? Here is an implicit commandment from Jesus that loving oneself is also important. Part of loving ourselves well, I think, is valuing all of who we have been created to be in God's image. Sometimes the church has tended to emphasize the spiritual over everything else, including our physical bodies, and that our bodies matter and how we care for our bodies matters. This comes, if in church history, the term Gnosticism. Gnosticism is this view that the body, the physical matter, is evil, and the spiritual is good. Even in the early Anabaptists in the 16th century, Gnosticism was a pretty strong stream that the early Anabaptists had to be aware of. On the one end, you kind of had wooden legalism, which maybe overemphasized one's actions and the physical ways that people followed Christ. And that would have been one of the streams within Swiss Anabaptism. And on the other end, you would have had this Gnostic stream, kind of spiritualism, which didn't value the sacraments or the physical embodiments. And one of the ways the early Anabaptists worked at bringing both of these together, Pilgrim Marpeck, he said, you have to look at the incarnation. Look at Jesus Christ himself. Both a physical body, human, and yet also empowered by the Spirit of God. The Word made flesh. In Jesus, in the incarnation, we see that the physical body matters and the spirit matters in Jesus. Pilgrim Marpeck is a great Anabaptist leader that grounds us. But I think it's profoundly important because I think sometimes as Mennonites, we haven't always valued taking care of our bodies as part of honoring God. Our bodies, our hearts, and our minds are all important parts of who we are as human beings. And so this morning, I invite us to ask this question. If God says, love your neighbor as yourself, how are you loving yourself this morning? How are you feeding yourself? How are you growing yourself? Since every part of us has been given to us by God and created in God's image, both our bodies and our souls are to be used and cared for wisely. Joyce Martyr, who is a licensed psychotherapist, founder of Urban Balance, says this. After 20 years of counseling individuals and couples, as well as doing my own inner work, I've come to believe that perhaps our greatest life lesson is learning how to fully accept and love ourselves. For only when we are truly aligned with our own beautiful and unique spirit can we completely and authentically give and receive love. So this morning, how are you loving yourself? How are you fed? What do you need this morning to care for yourself well? Instead of trying to reinvent the wheel, think about the parts of you that already bring you life and feed those things. If it's going for a run, that's one of the things that gives me life, then feed that. And think about the barriers that get in the way and try to reduce those barriers. Whether it's art or music, whether it's quiet time and taking 10 minutes out in a busy day, feed those things. It's part of loving yourself, which is part of loving God and neighbor. When we can invest in ourselves and love ourselves well, we can better serve others more joyfully and fully. So that's theme number one this morning. Theme number two. Jesus says in verse 31, there is no other commandment greater than these. That's such a profound statement, I believe. There's no other commandment greater than these. In this whole scriptures that we have, and I believe that if you would actually read through all of the Levitical code and in Deuteronomy where all the law is given, if you were to count up all the different commandments, there's over 600 in this Bible. And Jesus here says there is no other commandment greater than this. All of the law comes down to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so as I was thinking about that, I had to ask, why is it then that it seems like in Christian America that's just not the case? that we truly follow that. Especially in the church sometimes, it seems as if loving our neighbor as ourselves is hard, very hard to do. 2 weeks ago, Mia was sharing about Mennonite Convention in Kansas City, and she posed the question for us to ask, who is my neighbor? What a fantastic question. Who is my neighbor? And how do we love our neighbor as ourselves? I'm, in part of my reflections on this neighborliness, realizing that so in the tension-filled world right now of the politics, whether it's left or right, I'm not talking about one side or the other, everyone's guilty here, or right in the middle. There is so much tension and anxiety and polarization about what it even means to love one's neighbor. And how those words are interpreted. Who is one's neighbor? It's gotten so polarized and just painful, in my opinion, that at rallies we are hearing just unbelievable phrases from both sides. And what really is shocking is that it's coming from a lot of Christians. We have been so polarized and our identity has become so politicized that we've forgotten what it means to come back to Jesus' words. To be ultimately defined and shaped here by what it means to be a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, first and foremost. It seems that our view of God has been traded for our view of God that says love God and love neighbor has been traded for a much tougher, stricter, one who exercises judgment, one who tries to polarize God in America. And this God has often shown up in, unfortunately, very painful ways. And I don't think it's the God that we see here in Mark. The God that we see here in Mark is fully grounded in love, self-giving up love, love that goes to the cross, resurrection love, love that is humble in Jesus. That's the kind of love here that we're being invited into, friends, this morning. Not a winner God for some people and a loser God for others, that it seems like the political world is inviting us to, a winner and a loser. That's not the God here that I see and that we read about. And so I was drawn as well to a quote by Stanley Hauerwas here. He says, "The church stands as a political alternative to every nation, witnessing to the kind of social life possible for those who have been formed by the story of Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ is the antidote to liberalism, individualism, and nationalism, or of any political party. It is the community in which we learn that we have a story, God's story, that we are not alone and that we are a part of the kingdom that is not of this world. The church does not have an antidote, it is the antidote." So this morning, as we are grounded in these two amazing commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, love your neighbor as yourself. What a profound reminder in the midst of all this politicization and polarization to truly think about who is our neighbor that Jesus calls us to love. I am growing in asking that question, and we grow together as we ask that question. How do we love our neighbor as ourself, being grounded in God's narrative, first and foremost in the church? Our third theme. This is a story about profound agreement. And that needs to be celebrated. Because the story finds us at a time when that was not the norm. Most of the times before this, people were trying to disagree with Jesus, test Jesus, try to corner him and say, no, we got you. But this is a story of profound agreement on what is truth. Our story finds us at a time where Jesus has been having a lot of debates, conversations, heated ones at that, with various religious leaders, philosophical and theological in nature. Everyone wants to put Jesus to the test. This begins in Mark 11:27. In our story here, we see the last question that we read in verse 34. And at this point, at the end of our verse, no one else has dared to ask any questions. But before this, there's lots of people testing and asking questions to Jesus. This was a normal thing to try to debate about the Torah. What the scribe requested here as a question to Jesus was common. But unfortunately, what was not common was that it wasn't done in a spirit of dialogue, but in a spirit of trying to corner Jesus. And so, if you look throughout Mark's gospel, we see example after example of trying to put Jesus to the test and disagree. The religious leaders judged Jesus theologically, charging him with blasphemy because he forgave someone's sins. That's in chapter 2, verse 7. The religious leaders evaluated Jesus' eating company, said, you're eating with the wrong people. That's in 2:16. Some Jerusalem scribes claims he had been exercising activity in ways that was not following the law. That's in 3:22. They questioned his disciples' hand-washing practices. That's in chapter 7, verse 1 and 5. They probed into the origins of Jesus' authority. That's in chapter 11:27. And they wanted to kill Jesus because they were afraid of his popularity in chapter 11:18, eventually leading to their working with Judas to capture Jesus in chapter 14. So we see this continued theme of trying to disagree and corner Jesus. So here is something profoundly important to pay attention to, that there's not a disagreement or a trying to corner Jesus, but an agreement. That Jesus and this legal expert can agree on. And it must have been shocking for the people watching to hear this. What? You're not going to try to disagree or corner him? You're agreeing? This must be profoundly at the heart of truth. That to love God with all of one's heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one's neighbor as themselves is truth. That cannot be disagreed upon. Jesus affirms the scribe, yes, you got it. The kingdom has come near to you, in verse 34. The reason why this just sticks out to me so much is because we need good news that there is places where we can agree. It seems like in the church, we focus on just the things that we disagree on sometimes. And the reality is we agree on way more than we disagree on. We all agree here that having fellowship Sunday morning is a really beautiful thing and that the community is so profoundly important to church. I don't know anybody that disagrees on that. And yet how often do we name it? That is so important to who we are. How often are we naming together the things we agree on? And celebrate those things together. So, turn to your neighbor and find something that you agree on together in the next 20 seconds. Go. Thank you for doing that. It's such a cool thing in this story to see that. And then I love Jesus' response. The kingdom has come a little bit nearer today. It's come a little closer in our shared agreement that is truth. And so, Whitmer Heights, may we also recognize how the kingdom is coming a little bit closer to us in our shared fellowship and agreements together. In conclusion this morning, we've looked at the two greatest commandments that Jesus gives us. A reminder this morning that to love God and to love our neighbor means we also have to love ourselves well. And how do we feed those things that grow us? A reminder this morning to be reoriented again, reminded again, to be grounded in God's love, first and foremost in Jesus Christ. And to recognize how in the midst of so much of the political anxiety, what does it mean to love our neighbor as Jesus calls us to? And thirdly, to not take for granted when we agree, because this church agrees on so much. God is love. Thanks be to God. Amen.